Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget, with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with BlueLink Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus, just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and BlueLink Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Halfway through our first show of the work week, and maybe you have Monday off. I know family members and friends do have Monday off. My kiddos from church on Sunday, they were excited about having Monday off, but that is not the case for playoff football. There's another doubleheader coming up on Monday, just over 12 hours from now. We'll have Steelers and Bills kick off, and according to the governor of New York, there will be no more postponement. Nah, it's going through the way that it was rescheduled to go through. And that means CBS has football at 4:30 Eastern time on Monday, followed by Bucks Eagles. That one's in Tampa. There's no snow there. It might be cold, but there's no snow there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On our Facebook page, you can vote for Monday MVP. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then you can weigh in about the Dallas Cowboys. What a doubleheader on Sunday in the NFC. Cowboys get shellacked, shivved, and shanked by the Green Bay Packers. And the Detroit Lions battle toe-to-toe against their former quarterback, Matthew Stafford, and they prevail by a single point. I just got this tweet from Chicago. I can assure you nobody, this is all caps, is rooting for the mustard and relish to win. We might give a half-hearted clap for Detroit. Mustard and relish, of course, meaning the gold and green of the Green Bay Packers. That's funny. I had to say it out loud so I would get it. Thank you for the tweet. Again, A-Law Radio, or phone number 855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in. Jerry Jones says he hasn't thought about Mike McCarthy's future. He wasn't prepared right after the game to say anything except for how painful and disappointing it was. McCarthy says, I'm under contract. Not thought about my future with the team. Dak says, a lot of my success this season is due to him. So if you're going to blame somebody, blame me. But what do the Cowboys have to do so that they stop falling short? And I mean woefully short of their goal, whether home or away, they still have not gotten back to an NFC championship.
Wish I had that answer for you, honestly. I mean, yeah.
Maybe in the throes of disappointment, dejection, and disillusionment, probably not the best time to ask for answers. But Jerry Jones, he's now 81, and it's been 28 seasons since the Cowboys last appeared in a Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy has 1 year left on his contract, three straight 12-win seasons, and the NFC East title twice in the last 3 years, but a single playoff win. Of course, we know what matters the most. But how do you fire that guy and start all over again? That's the question. And if it's anybody but Bill Belichick, and I think Bill Belichick is a Hall of Fame coach. I'm not one of those people who thinks he just forgot how to coach, or he can only coach if it's Tom Brady. I don't love some of the personnel decisions he's made the last few years. I'm sure many Patriots fans feel the same way. He's one hell of a coach. And just by walking into the locker room, there's an instant credibility, of course. But he's such an upgrade over Mike McCarthy that all of a sudden they never suffer this playoff disappointment. And more specifically, how does that affect Dak Prescott? The number of years that I spent listening to Cowboys fans wanting someone other than Dak to be their quarterback, and he just came through a brilliant season in Mike McCarthy's first year calling plays. How about the connection with CeeDee Lamb? It's one of the best in the NFL. These things have to count for something. I get it. It sucks if you're a Cowboys fan. You didn't even save face. You can't even pretend like you were ever in this game. Nah, it's as bad as it could possibly be. But by starting over, remember, there's a cost to that as well. There are always going to be adjustments. And also, I'm wondering about Dan Quinn. What about Dan Quinn? This was his defense that got shivved. Is that politically incorrect? It might be. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Before we get to some AFC football, I'd love to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Mark in Buffalo is calling with a weather update. Mark, how are you?
Not too bad. I'm doing fairly okay. And it's a little bit of almost like not too warm up here. We have a temperature of 5 degrees. That's the regular temperature. It's 5 degrees right now. And we received some more snow over the night. Yes. My location is north of the stadium. The snow band is like moving north and south. But before it moved south again, we received another 3 inches up on my end.
Wow.
And as I said, it's moving back toward the stadium. So I didn't catch the local weather report yet, but I'm just waiting for that to come about. I just turned my TV on. It's on mute right now. So
I'm glad you have power.
Just waiting for them to give another local update. And that's the situation up here.
Are you staying home? You staying inside?
Oh, yeah. I was out yesterday for a little bit. We had some outside contractors in the area removing some of the snow that was accumulated.
Mm-hmm.
We probably picked up during that about maybe 4 to 5, maybe almost half a foot of snow.
Wow. Sounds awesome. I love snow, so I'm a little jealous myself.
Oh, you'd love it up here now. Like I said, it's moving, you know, that band is just, like I say, moving north and south. It's been doing that all weekend. And at this time, I believe it's heading back toward the stadium.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your weather update to the minute. Just be safe. Okay, Mark?
Always. Yep. I'll be listening and I'll hopefully if I get another update before you go off, I'll give you a heads up.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate the man on the scene. Just as I say, be safe and root for your Bills.
You got it. Willsy do.
All right, Mark. Thank you. Let's talk to Pat, who's in Indiana. Pat, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm a diehard Packer fan. The rest of my family are Bears fans, unfortunately.
Oh.
I grew up on the south side of Chicago, so
gotcha.
I'm like the black sheep. But, that game today was – I mean, there's so many different points I want to get to. But, I mean, when I was going to that game, I was like, I thought they had a chance. I knew their offense was playing well, and I figured if you could keep CeeDee Lamb to 100 yards and a touchdown, I was like, that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And if they kept Pollard to 50, 60 yards rushing, that'd be okay. I just wasn't expecting at all the dicing up that LaFleur did to Dan Quinn. Like, I just really was shocked, and I think it proves more and more just from the coaching aspect with LaFleur. Everyone was saying that, you know, Rodgers was what made LaFleur a good coach and those great seasons they had. And, I mean, he's just proving them and the Packers are just proving so many doubters wrong.
Yes.
LaFleur doing a hell of a job with Love and just, like, their offense just growing and blossoming every week. And, like, Cowboys defense is good. I mean, we knew they had a bad rush defense, and Aaron Jones exploited that extremely bad today. But, I mean, just everything they did, I mean, they had no answers. It wasn't just Aaron Jones. I mean, Jordan Love went 16 for 21, 274, and 3 touchdowns with a perfect passer rating. I mean, like, it's just everything is clicking at the perfect moment. And, I mean, if they can pass protect, which they've been able to do really well going into the last 8 games of the year, it was a rocky start. But man, they're pass protecting over everybody. And if the Niners can't rush Love, I mean, I don't want to say it's going to be the same thing. Not at all, because that's a whole other animal going to San Fran. But, I mean, if you don't get pressure on Love, that I don't know what else you can really do. But, I mean, I think it's going to be a much tougher game. But yeah, just the blowout was completely, I was not expecting that at all. I figured it'd be close. I figured it'd be a high scoring game, 35-28, you know, 35-31. If the Packers don't win, you know, they've made it this far. It's great. No, they're like, no, this is not what our goal was. Our goal was to win and go to the Super Bowl. And they're
right.
It's just crazy as a Packer fan seeing Love in his first year, just kind of just make Bears fans so angry.
Well, can I ask you a question? When the season started out slowly, and I know Aaron was hurt, so that was one part of it, Aaron Jones, and they've got so many young guys, and we're talking rookies, first and second year guys, and then Jordan Love, he had, you know, he scuffled at the start. You know, wasn't just him, obviously, but he bore the brunt of it to the point where I heard some people asking nationally whether or not this was a huge mistake. How did you feel going back to, say, midseason before they hit this great run?
Oh, I mean, week one, I mean, if most Packer fans would tell you, I mean, at least the Packer fans that know football, which most of them do, I mean, they knew it was going to be a questionable start, for sure a rocky start. They weren't expecting, I think playoffs were on the outskirts, but I mean, October was rough, and you kind of expected that. And I mean, but even with that, the first few weeks, he got off to a hell of a start. I mean, week one at Soldier Field, he threw for 3 touchdowns, and then in October he dipped. And then I think part of that was LaFleur not really trusting him yet, I don't think, and the playbook wasn't really all there. He was kind of keeping the reins on Love. And then you saw it was the Lions game for sure, Thanksgiving. Like, that was, like, the statement game, like, okay, like, I can kind of give Love a little bit more. And then that Rams game and the Steelers game, like right in there is, like, when – the playbook started to open up a lot more for Love. And then just, like, from November on, you just saw, like, all these different things LaFleur is doing, like motioning guys and just letting Love kind of sling it. And that was, like you said, good point. Jones was hurt. And again, like you said, doing all this with rookies and second-year guys, no David Bakhtiari, your all-pro left tackle, no Christian Watson for more than half the season, your wide receiver one. I mean, like, the fact that he's been doing this for now 10 weeks with all that going on, and now you got Aaron Jones healthy and Christian Watson played today. Didn't really do a whole lot, which I kind of figured he's just coming back, being gone 6 weeks or 5 weeks or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I figured it was going to be a little bit of a rocky start, and I was like, ugh. In October, I was like, like, please, like, if you can get it. Like,
please.
Just get it together. But, you know, I wasn't 100% sure, but, like, we had seen glimpses of it, and I knew he had talent. I knew that, no doubt. I just didn't know if he could put it all together, read a defense, make the quick decisions that you have to do as a quarterback. And, oh, my God, is he just doing that with flying colors? You know, they play zone against him. He destroys it. They blitz him. He knows where to go. He's throwing in the pocket with pressure. Like that touchdown to Dontavian Wicks today.
Yeah.
I mean, he had guys in his face.
Right. He nearly got sacked.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
And he just throws a dart. 28 yards, whatever it was, down the field and right at the numbers. I mean, those are the things that Aaron Rodgers did when he was in his younger days. I'm not comparing the two, but you can just see how much he learned from Rodgers. I was sitting there and reading and watching and studying. And, I mean, yeah, no, he's passing every single test. And, I mean, some of the experts had said earlier, like Dan Orlovsky is a big guy that was like on Love and saying, hey, like, this guy's good. If he can at least be average, this could be a playoff team. And if he's really good, the Packers really have something going here.
Well, did you hear Micah Parsons rave about him all year, which I think is somewhat ironic. He's been talking about how Jordan need a little more time. He's really good. And, well, yeah, he had a front row seat.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know he said that. But, but yeah, no, they're just passing every test with flying colors. And I mean, this is what the Packers did in 2010. I don't want to, again, compare it to
everything,
but like, this is what, like, you get hot at the right time and you're just, everything's clicking. I don't know if they're going to beat San Fran, but I can promise. And I mean, last thing I'll say is Joe Barry and the defense.
Oh, yeah.
My God. Like, Packer fans have been with the pitchforks wanting him to get fired since, I don't know, week 8 or week 6. I mean, like, this defense was terrible, terrible, like, earlier in the season, along with, you know, another credit to Love, like, playing well with a bad defense. And now, somehow, some way, I don't know how. I mean, Joe Barry is dialing up this defense to play well. And Jair Alexander came back today. He had a nice game. But credit to Joe Barry, too. I wouldn't have said this at all 6 weeks ago, but credit to him, man. He's doing a hell of a job these last couple weeks against good defenses.
Definitely.
And so.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Pat. Good to talk to you. You definitely have it over your Chicago relatives, at least this year.
Oh, for sure. And yeah, go Pat, go.
All right. Thanks for calling you from Indiana. That's fun. It is definitely a storyline that took time to coming together. And that's what I like about it. It wasn't instant success. It wasn't perfect. It took some time. But over the course of the season, how often do we see teams go on these journeys that at times go around the mountain more than once? I mean, think about the Cleveland Browns, 5 different starting quarterbacks. And I get it. It didn't turn out the way they wanted either. But the fact that they're even in the playoffs, coming out of the toughest division in football, to me is a major accomplishment. And I tweeted about it, and boy, the comments I got in return. Every season takes on a life of its own. And the Packers had to find their new path, had to find their new leadership, had to find their footing to go around this mountain. But man, it was worth the wait, was it not? And this is the youngest team in football. All right, so coming up, we do have to get to the AFC. We got a couple of games from Saturday, so need to get to the AFC where we've got the Chiefs in their 15th consecutive home playoff game. My gosh, that's obscene. 15 in a row at home, but this is not your older brother's Chiefs. In fact, this is a Chiefs team that might be led by defense. And then also, the first game of the playoffs, Joe Flacco, and then the youngest quarterback ever to be part of a playoff win. Wow, talk about that dichotomy, opposite ends of the spectrum. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Please find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. And you can weigh in on Monday MVP and who's to blame for the Cowboys. I actually might be holding my breath on Monday, wondering what's going to happen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget, with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with Blue Link Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading Blue Link Plus, just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and Blue Link Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Around New Year's, we get a little obsessed with changing ourselves and forgetting the things we're already doing right, like taking our supplements every morning or scheduling me time into our day. Therapy helps you recognize those victories and keep up the good work in the new year without changing everything. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy so you can try New Year, Same You with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is in the game now at running back. They fake to him. Mahomes throws right side. Caught Rice at the 5, angling right. Touchdown! Kansas City rookie Rashee Rice, his first postseason touchdown, an 11-yard crossing pattern. And just like Germany, the Chiefs have an outstanding opening drive for a touchdown to start the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Maybe you thought the near record cold, well, record for a playoff game at Arrowhead, near record for an NFL postseason game. Maybe you thought that near record cold would lead the Kansas City Chiefs to be relatively conservative. Not the case. They come out firing, actually. And Patrick Mahomes and his offense able to settle into a rhythm. Now, this is before Pat's helmet shattered. It's before Andy Reid's mustache completely turned to icicles. I wonder what would happen if he had just rubbed his nose or grabbed the frozen hair that turned into icicles and just yanked it. Ouch. Someone actually did ask him the question. We'll let you hear from Andy himself coming up. The Chiefs score on the opening drive, and they work in Travis Kelce and Isaiah Pacheco to get the offense in rhythm, and then the rookie, Rashee Rice, with his first playoff touchdown that goes 11 yards for the easy score. Well, easy. Yeah, they make it look easy. The rest of the first half was only field goals for the Chiefs, so I kind of wondered, all right, are they leaving too many points out there? I know it was home, it was Arrowhead, it was cold. The Dolphins were missing multiple defensive starters that they've lost in the last couple weeks, including Bradley Chubb, their great pass rusher. But after a Tua interception and after a couple of extended possessions, they only manage field goals. And in the meantime, there was a jolt from a former Chief.
All right, the ball is right now at the 47 of Miami. Shotgun snap, long throw downfield, caught by Hill at the 15, breaks a tackle, 10, swerves to his right at the 5. He's in for the touchdown. They got a long 53-yard touchdown pass. Tagovailoa to Tyreek Hill. What a play. And they use the wind to their advantage with some poor Chiefs tackling in the secondary.
The call with Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. And for those of you who did not watch the game on Peacock, many of you did, but for those of you who did not have a Peacock party, well, then you got to listen to it on the radio. Actually, I listened to both Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio as well as Kevin Harlan. I did one for the first half, one for the second half. And Mitch was very aware. Mitch and our friend Danon Hughes, who's been on the show multiple times, former Chiefs wide receiver. He is the color analyst. And then Josh Klingler? Yeah, who's also been on the show, who's their sideline reporter. His mic was frozen, so they would go to him, and it wasn't working. Anyway, I listened to them, and Mitch was very cognizant of the fact, and I quote, that we have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of you listening. He mentioned that more than once, meaning they knew they had a much larger audience than normal because people couldn't watch on TV outside of Kansas City or Miami unless they had Peacock. And we'll get to the numbers here coming up. It was great to know that a lot of you chose radio just because I'm a radio junkie, and I think that's cool. But many people, maybe Swifties, did decide to tune in on Peacock. I just wasn't one of them. All right, so the Tyreek Hill touchdown, early in the second quarter, keeps Miami close, 53-yarder, his, as it turns out, one signature moment returning to Kansas City. Because the defense for the Chiefs pitches a shutout in the second half. Remember all those years where the offense outshone the defense in such a way that it felt like the defense was the ugly redheaded stepchild? Not anymore. There are times when I feel like this defense is actually better than the offense collectively. Not pat, but better as a unit overall. And really, this game was out of reach. Not after Pat's helmet was broken. Not even that could stop him.
That was sweet.
The game was out of reach after a 7-minute drive in which they go 14 plays. The Miami defense was about to peter out. 72 yards. And it results in, well, it's a familiar name. He's become one of the veterans for the Chiefs.
And now the Chiefs spin out. They're going to go to a single wing type play here. This is going to be a direct snap. It goes to Pacheco, spinning. Now moving to the left side. Pacheco, touchdown! Kansas City, the single wing, again being used on the direct snap spinner. And all of the single wing coaches spike the ball with the Kansas City Chiefs. And now the Chiefs have opened up a 25-7 lead on a 3-yard run by Pacheco.
Again, Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. Yeah, the final call was really more of a foregone conclusion. And, hey, let's just get the heck off the field and into the warm locker rooms. I mean, you could see them on the sidelines, obviously, doing whatever they could to stay warm. But unless you're moving around, it's pretty difficult in those conditions. You can freeze very quickly. And so for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, maybe a surprise that they came out throwing, but they did. They ended up, and he actually had a couple of scrambles, so he was over 40 yards rushing. But they end up staying aggressive from the start. And the fact that they have seen these young guys grow up, maybe this is a testament to where the Chiefs are now, where they didn't have as many options at the beginning of the year.
It was windy. I think you saw on some of the throws downfield, they kind of carried more or didn't carry enough. And I thought the guys did a great job of getting themselves open. It was cold. I'm not going to lie. It was cold. But I think at the end of the day, you got to just be mentally tough enough to just say that it's not going to affect how we play. That's not going to affect my effort. If something doesn't work, I'm going to come back the next time and keep firing.
Rashee Rice, who is the rookie, had 8 catches, 130 yards, and the touchdown, and he was having a hard time thinking about anything else post-game.
I've never been to North Pole. I've never been to Alaska. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure if you look up the weather, you know, right now, those places is not like, it's not here. This is the coldest place on the map right now.
He's having a hard time talking. And I know this because I grew up in New England and in the cold. When you get super cold, your mouth stops working. The weather, you can hear him say, I'm pretty sure his mouth is freezing.
This is the coldest place on the map right now.
A little stutter there.
Poor Rashee. What about the defense? That's a huge deal. The fact that the defense was able to hold that Miami Dolphins offense to only 7 points.
Our defense with the third down ratio was incredible. And the job that they did, 1-for-12 on third downs. That's quite a stat there.
We have great players all around every single level. You have players, you have depth, guys rotate in, can do it all. And then you have Spags in this scheme, and all the guys are so well coached in the scheme that they use it to their advantage, and you don't never know where they're at. I mean, Sneak can play inside, outside. McDuffie can play inside, outside. All the linebackers can guard and can make tackles, and it's hard to get a beat on what they're doing. And so that's what I knew in training camp. I was like, man, I'm glad I don't have to play those guys because that would be tough.
1-for-12 on third down for these Miami Dolphins. And Mike McDaniel admits that disappointment is just part of it, right? Because not every team, in fact, only one team, is happy at the end of the season.
As tough as it gets, just because, you know, everyone poured their heart and soul into it. That is the nature of the business.
It's tough, man, especially with the type of team that we got. Obviously, there are high expectations of everyone, and, you know, we hold ourselves to a standard, so we're definitely, you know, expecting to be a really good team this year. Definitely wasn't expecting a first-round exit.
I would say there's been a lot of ups and downs. A lot of guys that started the season out with us and then, you know, weren't able to finish the season with us. So a lot of ups and downs with the injuries. But, you know, for our team, we never want to use any of those things as an excuse. And, you know, we're not going to use that as an excuse.
Mike McDaniel, Tyreek Hill, who ends up with the one touchdown among his catches, and then Tua, who didn't play well. This is tough. 20 of 39, 199 yards, a touchdown, an interception. So what was wrong with the offense?
Being efficient on first and second down. You know, that's what I would say to that. And then, like I said, there's been some communication errors and things like that. So can't do that.
So I think in the case of the Dolphins, I was expecting them to build on what they did last year, right? Was expecting them to go farther, not just because of the experience, but because I felt like they were building towards something. But that's what happens, A, when you have injuries, B, when you don't take care of your business. They allowed the Bills to catch them in the AFC East, and before you get all up in arms over that, yes, the Bills won five straight at the end of the season, but the Miami Dolphins left that door so wide open, the Bills were able to catch them. The Dolphins had the one victory over Dallas that I think maybe attracted enough attention that it felt like, all right, that could be the turning point for them. Now they can battle with the big boys, so to speak. But when it comes to the grandest stages and the toughest battles, they still clearly have a ways to go, right? So Miami's a good team. Mike McDaniel's doing a great job. That offense, dynamic, dazzling at times to watch. And I know they were without Jalen Waddle and Raheem Mostert toward the end of the regular season. But they have enough weapons. Tua played great. I mean, the fact that Tua played all season long and didn't get hit a whole lot, to me, that's a huge success story for the Dolphins in 23. But how do they get over the hump? How do they compete with the best of the NFL? Because they're just not there yet. So, yeah, huge disappointment. Same thing with the Cowboys, right? You build up and you put in so much heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears for a regular season only to have it come to a crashing halt. In the AFC, well, I mean, the playoffs are so jam-packed with incredible teams. The Dolphins have just run into two teams better than them. Didn't they get eliminated by the Bills last year? Maybe I got that wrong. Don't yell at me if I did, because sometimes they all blend together. So they've run into better teams in the AFC, but also they need to play better on this stage and on the stages where the stakes are a little higher. There's a little sense of urgency. They've got to play better as a group. And so this is a tough, painful way to learn it, but you're running into the Super Bowl champions who are playing in their 15th straight home game in the postseason. That's obscene. Although, they could end up on the road next weekend. First time in the Patrick Mahomes era, right, that they would have to play an AFC championship away from home, unless all of the various dominoes drop their way. But it's unlikely. So let's see what the Bills can do as the 2 seed coming up on Monday. Inside of 12 hours until Bills and Steelers get to play in the snow, which I think is brilliant. But I understand why they didn't want fans out driving and they needed to keep the various vehicles off the road because they need the emergency vehicles and cleanup crews and all that jazz. I did hear that the Bills were reaching out to just anyone who had a plow on their truck again. Hey, come help us clear the parking lots.
Did you see what they did to the fans? They offered, it was Saturday night. You could
say free tickets.
No, it was $20 an hour, actually. $10, excuse me, 10 p.m. the stadium opened. And if you were in the Buffalo area, 18 or older, and had like legal working papers, you can go sign up and help dig the stadium out. And you get $20 an hour. They asked you to bring your own shovel, but they had them. They gave you food and, like, refreshments. Yeah, the videos were crazy.
We should have done that. Could you imagine the kind of video we would have had?
If I was in the area, I absolutely would have.
Yeah, that would have been amazing. All right, coming up, we'll talk Browns and Tech.
Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Tecovas is a terrific boot brand, and they're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage boot making. So they've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality you find in a great pair of cowboy boots, but they've innovated on comfort, style, and service. As someone who tries to pursue a minimalist lifestyle, I highly value quality over quantity, and I'm telling you, you can't find a higher quality boot than Tecovas. Their Western boots for men and women are handmade. Handmade from the most premium leathers with over 200 time-honored individual steps. Also, did I mention that they are Austin-designed, Texas-tested, and handmade down in the boot-making capital of the world, Leon, Mexico? And also, if you've ever wondered if you can pull off cowboy boots, which is something that I was thinking, you should pull on a pair of Tecovas and you'll see. Just do a quick search for Tecovas on social media and you'll see how adorably styled these boots can be. Visit Tecovas.com, that's Tecovas.com, and point your toes west.
And the CJ Stroud legend grows.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
For Houston, now down 14-10, moving from right to left, play fake, boot to the right, floater for Jordan, it's caught, the tight end's got it, 35, makes a move, 40, 45, 50, oh, he's down the right sideline, Brevin Jordan is gone, 76 yards, touchdown, Texans, Martin Emerson did not bring him down, and the athletic Brevin Jordan takes it the distance for Houston. Fake the handoff. Boot to the right. Stroud is going to throw the deep ball up in the air. It is caught. Touchdown. Dalton Schultz. A rainbow for 37 yards. CJ Stroud can do no wrong. And the Texans add to their lead.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
I tell you what, the best defenses in the NFL, or a couple of the best defenses in the NFL, really gave up a lot of points this weekend. It is just so different in the playoffs when anything can and will happen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Texans were trailing the Browns in the second quarter of their AFC wildcard matchup on Saturday, starting off the 2024 postseason. And Brevin Jordan catches a 76-yarder, or catches a long ball from C.J. Stroud, goes 76 yards, and then Dalton Schultz, 37-yard touchdown, and that was a strike. Devin Singletary, he was busy in there. Love the rhythm that we saw from the Houston offense immediately. And so thinking about the Browns' defense, how physical they are, how tough they've been all season. They're certainly battle-tested from the AFC North. But right away, you could see that the Texans, they had a game plan, and they were opening up the field. I loved that they were using the whole field. And so it was 24-14 at the half. I don't know if you all were thinking shootout continuing into the second half, but there certainly were the potential for a lot more points. Just not the way that we expected them or me. I won't speak for you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, the major turning point came there in the second half, in the third quarter.
Shotgun for Flacco. Takes the snap. Steps up. Flacco under duress. He throws it. Intercepted along the near side. Picked off. Running down the sideline is Steven Nelson, and he could go. Nelson to the 15, the 10. Nelson breaks away. Touchdown. They're going for it on fourth and two. We're down to 4:15 to go in the third quarter. Flacco operating out of the gun. Flacco looks. He throws. It is intercepted. Christian Harris down the left side. Nobody's there. And it's Harris to the house. Touchdown, Texans. It's a pick party in Houston. 35 yards.
Never seen back-to-back pick sixes like that. We needed our defense to step up. You know, Joe had a big day against us a couple weeks ago, and we knew it was a challenge in the passing game. And, you know, for Nelly to make the pick that he made and also C. Harris, those are big-time plays. So one of our focuses coming into the game was to attack the football. But to attack it and go score, that changes the game for us.
You never want to throw those. I do think you have to look at interceptions, you know, as a quarterback and as an offense, as a quarterback group. When you go back and watch the film, you have to look at them for what they are. You know, are they bad decisions? Are they bad throws? Are they just, you know, happening because it was just something wild happened?
Joe Flacco, not really giving the explanation, but just, hey, they're not all the same, right? Not every pick six is created equal. Christian Harris is one of our candidates for Monday MVP. 7 solo tackles, couple for loss, a sack, a quarterback hit, and oh yeah, an interception return for a score. Texans defense had a field day. And in that third quarter, the Christian Harris was actually on fourth down. They completely changed the tenor of this playoff game. Take nothing away from Joe Flacco. You really cannot. 38 years old. He steps in after spending the first half of the season on the couch, as he talks about. Didn't get picked up by his former team, the Jets. Instead goes auditions with the Browns, and before he knows it, he's forced into the starting job. And that is why the Browns made the playoffs. He is why, right? They already had a defense that was fantastic. They needed a quarterback who could move the ball, connect with Amari Cooper, make sure that the pass could keep the defense honest so they wouldn't stack the box against the run. Joe Flacco did all of that. He performed extremely well, but still, he was feeling pretty bad about it on Saturday.
It's disappointing the way it ends. I mean, I think when the city embraces you and the team the way they have, you definitely want to, you know, you want to do big things, mostly for your teammates, because those guys, like I said, have been incredible. But it's hard not to feel the way the city rallied around the group of guys in that locker room.
We played poor, and you know, that's something that we have been trying to get away from. You know, trying to start fast, and especially on the road, you know, getting our feet underneath us. You know, as soon as the ball snapped. But I mean, they just played their game better than we played ours. You know, they took advantage of our mistakes, and it's just unfortunate that we had a bad day today.
Again, I think it's incredible that they even made the playoffs, considering that they started 5 different quarterbacks, but I can understand why Myles Garrett is frustrated. He had a real good season. The Browns defense had a great season, and ultimately it ends in that first game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can vote for the Monday MVP on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page. As for the young quarterback, C.J. Stroud, youngest ever to lead an NFL team to a playoff win.
This is like a dream come true how close we are as a team. Like, we're really, really close. Offense, defense, special teams, like, we're all men well together, and just have another week to go at it with my brothers, it's a blessing, you know. So I'm super excited for this team and the city of Houston, and I'm just blessed to be in the position I am.
CJ is the reason why we're in this position. He's special young man, special player, continues to shine. no matter how big the moment is. Like, our whole team is leaning on him. No moment is too big for him. And when you have a young player who can shoulder the load of your team and the way the team is behind him, the confidence that he gives our entire team, it's so cool to watch.
I'm so happy for D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud and, again, a group of Texans that is relatively young. They have a bright future. Now, you never know what happens moving forward, but I do think it's awesome that they've really recaptured what was special about Texans football when D'Amico was a player. I mean, that's pretty amazing, right? CJ with 3 touchdowns, a near-perfect passer rating. Find our Monday MVP poll and vote. It's After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget, with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with BlueLink Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus, just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and BlueLink Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Around New Year's, we get a little obsessed with changing ourselves and forgetting the things we're already doing right, like taking our supplements every morning or scheduling me time into our day. Therapy helps you recognize those victories and keep up the good work in the new year without changing everything. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy so you can try New Year, Same You with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, H-E-L-P.com/grow.